And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. And for some reason, we seem to have all of a sudden picked up this incredible buzz and hum, and I'm not sure where... Oh, there. I found the solution. Okay. All right. That's the solution right there. All right. So we fixed our audio with the magic touch here. Welcome to our show. It's Thursday, January 18th, 2018. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The talking points list is very full. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. For those of you who visit the website, whatreallyhappened.com, yes, we are up on the new server. The good news is it is blazingly fast, along with being immune to the Spectre and Meltdown back doors. The bad news is, of course, with the upgrade, it broke a lot of stuff on the website. I've been busy trying to fix a lot of it this morning. Chat room still isn't working. And I'm basically at the point right now of making a decision whether I should invest more time and effort in the current site or just bite the bullet and start a whole new whatreallyhappened.com website, because I put a lot of years into this code. And it's very frustrating to have to solve the same problems over and over and over again, to be told I have to upgrade and the upgrade will be smooth, and it wasn't. The upgrade won't break your site. It did. And just all kinds of problems here. So the problem I'm having is I'm looking at the content management systems out there. And they've all evolved more toward e-commerce, selling stuff. And I have yet to find a content management system and a template that duplicates the functionality of whatreallyhappened.com. In other words, it's a news site, a blogging site, commenting site with membership. But at this point, I think I've taken this site as far as I can, and I'm up against the law of diminishing returns. Okay, so anyway, let's get into the news here. A couple of quick items here about what happened in Hawaii with that false, they say, missile alert. At this point, I really do think they were testing how the public was going to respond here in Hawaii and over in Japan. That's the only reason there were two of these similar events just days apart. But apparently, according to the Daily Mail, a well-known porn site basically revealed that right after the ballistic missile threat was revealed to be a false alarm, there was a 50% increase in traffic from users in Hawaii. So I guess people were celebrating in the best way that they could. On a somewhat darker point, of course, we've got more information about that gentleman who apparently was so frightened by the missile alert that he suffered a heart attack and died. Sean Shields, 51, he basically sent messages to his daughter and son to say goodbye, and then he suffered this heart attack, and he had no prior history of heart problems. So that is not very good. All right, let's take a phone call. Michael Herzog, aloha. Welcome to our show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Michael Rivero?
I'm doing great.
Good. Well, I hope Clara's getting better. I wanted to ask you, I had something come across my computer screen here regarding this Hawaii, you know, this false alarm. And I wanted to see if you've heard anything about this. It says there was a missile perhaps fired by Israel. The government is lying, update 3, separate Pacific Command missile warning. Tour boat witnessed ocean impact. Did you hear anything about that? It says it was reported to Channel 2 and then scrubbed.
I have heard several variations of this same story, and I'm not giving them a lot of credence at this point. And the main reason for that is, had the Pacific Command actually issued a real missile warning, the siren system would have gone off, because in addition to the cell phone and TV banners, they just set up this new nuclear attack warning siren system. And the reason I was wondering what was going on right at the very start was because the sirens did not go off immediately, and there was nothing on the local news that I could see, news radio, and it just looked, it was just this one area, one out of three was giving this alert. So I really don't give it a lot of credence. Somebody was saying that the missile actually crashed into the ocean off the North Shore, was seen by a bunch of tourists. But there are a lot of people who live on the North Shore, and there should have been additional reports. I think this is the usual trying to muddy the water so that people, you know, can't really try and figure out what actually happened.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree. Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate the answer, and give Claire my best, and I hope she gets better quick, man. Have a good show. Okay?
I certainly will. Thanks an awful lot. Thanks for the kind words. We're going to switch over to Kevin in West Virginia. Aloha, Kevin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Mike. I keep hearing a couple reports about Trump having heart problems, heart disease, and a possible heart attack later down the future. And I was thinking when I heard that, well, didn't it come out in the Pike Committee in the church hearings or the Pike hearings that the CIA has a heart attack gun? And just
yes.
Kind of had to be awful funny and kind of fishy and wanted to bring that to your radar. If they're pushing this, they also have the technology to have cause people to have heart attacks. So maybe there's something nefarious here, or I'm just reading too much into this, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention.
Well, first of all, Trump just had his medical check. The doctor said he passed with flying colors. He passed his cognitive test. And what's really amazing is how the media is obsessing over Donald Trump's health. This is the same media that wouldn't even comment when Hillary Clinton couldn't focus her eyes, when she was basically unable to climb stairs without assistance, when she literally passed out during that 9/11 memorial. And they gave her a clean pass. Oh, it's no big deal. No big deal. She's going to be fine. And Donald Trump is out there just incredibly healthy. I mean, Donald Trump is the same age as Bill Clinton. You should see them side by side if you want to see healthy versus unhealthy. And but again, this is more of the media trying to set the stage for Trump's removal. Whether they're actually contemplating inducing a heart attack. Yes, there was that that gun that they presented to the church committee, although at the time they said it was a Russian weapon, even back then. Anything bad, the Russians are doing it. There are just chemicals that you can drop on somebody's skin that will stop the heart. And no, I'm not going to tell you what it is. So, there's all kinds of things. And, you know, maybe they'll try something like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's funny that you bring up Bill Clinton in comparison. I mean, he's absolutely, you're right. He looks like a walking corpse. I mean, that looks, if I've never ever seen a grim reaper, that's it right there. I mean, that's what I envision. But no, I just wanted to bring that to, you know, your attention. I mean, I'm not trying to throw conspiracy out there, but I just found it to be quite, you know, unnerving that they would say that, especially when he just had that, you know, that exam, like you said, the cognitive exam and, you know, a clean bill of health from the doctors, and now they're pushing off, oh, heart disease, and then my head girlfriend had brought up to me, well, didn't you say the Pike Committee or the Pike hearings? And I was like, well, yeah, they did. And, you know, I just see them trying to play something. I hope they don't, but I just see them trying to play something. But other than that, I hope you have a great show. Give Miss Claire the best, and you have a great day, sir.
All right. Thank you very much for the phone call, and I will. And we're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. It's stunning the hypocrisy here. The same corporate media that is taking a president who just passed his medical exam and his cognitive exam, and they're trying to just keep on hinting, he's too ill to be president, he's too ill to be president. And yet all last year during the campaign, Hillary Clinton was showing clear signs of problems. There was that Fresnel lens inside her eyeglasses, unable to focus her eyes, maybe indicating brain damage. There was the way she literally couldn't walk upstairs without help. She couldn't even stand on a soapbox without somebody holding and propping her up. And then there was that time when she literally passed out and had to be thrown in the car. The corporate media said nothing. No big deal. She's fine. You guys are just imagining things. And it just underscores how biased the corporate media has become. And yet, if you try and say they're biased and not being objective, oh my, that's just fake news. That's just fake news. We're still leading, the way in the country. And no, they are not either. Interesting little story. This gets back to Seth Rich. And he's sort of indirectly back in the news, because there's this gentleman who's investigating his death, Jack Berkman. And apparently, according to the Daily Mail, was basically, this happened yesterday, was grabbed by three men, masked, in his driveway, punched and pepper sprayed. It's clearly meant to be a warning. So obviously, the opposition is, in fact, getting very, very nervous. They can't keep a lid on all the scandals. That was going to be Hillary Clinton's job in the White House. Keep the lid on all the scandals until it's so old nobody cares anymore. That's why they hate Donald Trump. He can't be controlled. Well, he's being controlled to an extent, but they can't depend on him. They understand that if he actually gets something hard on these people, he will move to break free of his controllers and reassert his vision for the White House. Now, the FBI is out there just desperate to find all kinds of stuff, some good is some bad. Right now, part of the FBI is investigating millions of dollars of mishandled tax money funneled from the Australian government to the Clinton Foundation. It's some $88 million in total. And it happened during Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard's last year in office. So something was going on down there. Now, on the other side of the FBI, the bad people, apparently a senior FBI official actually shared Russian probe intelligence with the author of that dossier, Christopher Steele. And Christopher Steele has a lot of contacts left over from when he was a British spy. And he basically called them all up and basically said, we're working on the Trump's connections to Russia. And it turned out an FBI agent revealed the name of Trump campaign volunteer George Papadopoulos to Christopher Steele on October 1st, 2016, during a meeting in Rome. So why is the FBI sharing intelligence with a former British spy about an ongoing investigation? Something very questionable about that. Now, report over on Fox News from contributor Sarah Carter reveals that the Clinton Foundation's hatchet man, Sidney Blumenthal, was grilled by the FBI in 2016 in connection to the Steele dossier. Now, last November, remember, Hillary Clinton actually admitted on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah that her campaign paid for this now discredited document. So she's in it up to her eyeballs. Tom Fitton is warning that there is a tsunami of information set to expose the Obama-Clinton deep state scandals. And repeating statements that he made on Hannity last week, Judicial President Tom Fitton warned on Tuesday that a tsunami of information exposing all of these scandals will soon be released. Now, one of them may already be out because Tom Fitton has come on out and said that Hillary Clinton was hiding everything, meaning all of her deleted emails, on her private server. She deleted emails off her State Department account and everything. She kept copies on her private server. Somewhere that is out there in a backup tape. In theory, the NSA should have it all. No question about that, if they're actually able to do what they claim they're able to do. If they don't have Hillary's deleted emails, then we can all relax. They can't really break into our computers and spy on us, can they? Yet another major scandal is starting to surface. This is going to rival Uranium One. A lot of people are, you know, looking at the Uranium One scandal, but there's another one because apparently there is a Gulftainer port over in Canaveral, Cape Canaveral, Florida. And basically, this port, there was a 35-year lease given to one of America's largest container ports located just minutes from the Kennedy Space Center to a Middle Eastern company with ties to Iran, North Korea, Russia, and the man behind Saddam Hussein's nuclear weapons programs. And it's exactly the same players involved in the Uranium One deal. The same people signed off on this 35-year lease on this container port that signed off on Uranium One. So now we have to be looking at the money that was coming into the Clinton Foundation from these various interests, this Middle Eastern shipping company. Boy, they were just selling the country left and right when they were in power, weren't they? 20% of America's uranium, major shipping ports, all of it's for sale. Now, over at the White House, the big news here right now is there going to be a government shutdown this weekend? And normally, I'd say that'd be a good thing, but last time they had a government shutdown, all they shut down were the things the American people actually wanted, and the stuff that the American people don't like kept right on running. But the White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly, earlier today said the GOP has enough votes to avert the shutdown. And then later in the day, there was some talk that maybe there were going to be some desertions. And so it's still a little bit up in the air. Now, I would have thought that after all the problems that came on out with this book, Fire and Fury, that Michael Wolff would sort of be gone. But apparently, the book is so good, even though it's not true, they're going to make it into a TV series, despite the concerns of accuracy. Now, if they present it as a work of fiction, that's one thing. But if they're using TV to try and reassert that this actually happened in the Trump White House, that's another problem. That's another case of clear corporate media propaganda. But apparently, production company Endeavor Content has bought the rights to the book for a seven-figure fee. This is the largest deal in the company's history and will soon look for a network to help produce the show. Michael Wolff is going to serve as one of the executive producers on the series alongside longtime Channel 4 and BBC executive Michael Jackson. Now, the accuracy of many of the claims in the book is widely disputed, and Wolff is basically saying early on that looseness with the truth is an elemental thread of the book. In other words, it's okay that he's lying. He's actually out there saying, yeah, there's a lot in the book that isn't true. It just sounds good. And now they're going to do the same thing with the TV series. They're going to put it on out there and imply that it's the truth and say, we'll let the Americans make up their own mind. Counting on the fact that the majority of Americans won't do any homework and due diligence to see if it's real. They'll just see it on TV and say, yep, I guess that's what it is. One of the things that has been very obvious about the power of, first of all, movies and later on TV, is if people are seeing it, they're more inclined to think it's real and true. And there's been a lot of nonsense put out in movies that actually come to be believed by the general population, urban legends and so forth. And we know the movies lie, we know the TV lies, and now they're going to lie about Fire and Fury. Getting on back to the FBI, is now so desperate to find something on Donald Trump. They're investigating whether Russia donated money to the National Rifle Association in order to help Donald Trump. They're literally grasping at straws. Russian straws, but they're grasping at straws here. Okay, now, finally, after much waiting and brouhaha, Donald Trump announced his fake news awards. Turns out there isn't a little trophy to go with them, which is okay because I wouldn't imagine these media outlets would put it on display. But the winners of the 2017 Fake News Awards, number one, the New York Times Paul Krugman, who claimed on the day of President Trump's landslide victory that the economy would never recover. Second place goes to ABC News' Brian Ross chokes and sends markets in a downward spiral with a false report. Third place, The Bronze. CNN falsely reported that candidate Donald Trump and his son Donald Trump Jr. had access to hacked documents from WikiLeaks. There's a list of 11 of these, and of course, all of them center on Russian collusion. The corporate media as a whole has been pushing Russian collusion for a year, despite an absolute lack of any evidence whatsoever. So you can find this article at whatreallyhappened.com, and you can read the rest of the awards. But it's CNN, Time, Washington Post, CNN again, Newsweek, CNN again, the New York Times. Interestingly enough, Fox News did not make the cut. I imagine they're feeling pretty good about that right now. And again, the corporate media created this problem for themselves, and I have no sympathy for them whatsoever. And a listener just emailed me that there actually is a trophy that goes with the fake news awards. It's a gold-plated statue of Brian Williams. Now, a little bit of good news. Remember Ben Swan, who was just right up until the start of 2017, was just all over social media, and it had his wonderful Reality Check investigative reports. And then all of a sudden, a lot of people decided they didn't want him around during the first year of Trump's presidency. And basically, he went dark on his social media accounts, and they were all suddenly deactivated. Well, he's coming back. And apparently he's coming back thanks to the Dash cryptocurrency. Maybe he succeeded in buying in and making a bunch of money with which to fund the return. I don't really have those details. I'm just glad as heck that Ben Swan is coming back, because he just did absolutely wonderful, wonderful work. I remember some of the shows that he did, the reality checks that he did, when we were talking about gold repatriation to Germany. And he was able to just really clarify the point of why Germany was so upset with the United States. All right, let's get into the war zones here, because there is a lot going on. Turkey has now launched its first ground operation. This one is actually in northern Iraq, and it's a land operation against the outlawed Kurdistan Workers' Party in northern Iraq. And they're saying their aim is to prevent the PKK militants from threatening the border security of Turkey. So they're working across there. Everybody's just sort of holding their breath for Turkey to start moving into Syria. Actually, they already have. I was looking at a situation map, and it's already underway. They're bombing, artillery. There's at least one tank assault underway. Syria is warning they will try to shoot down Turkish jets if they attack the Kurds in Syria's borders. I thought Syria was going to back off, but apparently not. And meanwhile, Erdogan is out there issuing a warning to Russia to not oppose the assault. In other words, he's telling Russia to stand down. And Putin might. He doesn't want to escalate this. He doesn't want to let the U.S. get into it. Except, of course, the U.S. is already in there with that 30,000-strong so-called border force that was there to carve out a new Kurdistan from part of Syria, which obviously Syria is opposed to that. But we're in a very bizarre situation here, because we have two NATO allies now opposing each other. We have U.S. ally Turkey attacking the U.S.-backed forces in Syria. And this is where war gets really kind of confusing. Back in 2016... there was a situation where three U.S. allies were fighting each other in northern Syria. Don't you miss the good old days when there was the good guys and the bad guys, and they marched off to each other and they did what for with their spears and pikes and halberds and so forth? Getting very confusing here. You know, what day of the week is it? It's Tuesday. Oh, I'm supposed to be shooting Kurds if it's Tuesday. I shoot the Syrians if it's Wednesday. Now, Rex Tillerson is out there basically declaring that the United States troops will remain in Syria. Their excuse is to prevent the rise of Daesh, the resurrection of Daesh. Well, frankly, Syria and Russia have done a really good job of making sure Daesh is not coming back anytime soon. If anything, the U.S. got in the way. But that's the official excuse for the U.S. to continue their illegal presence inside Syria. And Tillerson is out there saying that another reason for the U.S. to remain in Syria is to counter Iran. Well, again, Iran has the permission of Syria to be there, just like Russia. Syria wants them in there. They do not want the United States. We had that comment from the Syrian military. They're getting ready to kick what's left of the American forces out. And down here, Tillerson says the United States will remain in Syria until certain conditions are met, which include the complete destruction of ISIS. That's all pretty much done. Assad's removal from power and the return of refugees to a stabilized country. Notice how they're back to Assad must go. They're still pushing that one. That was the original agenda all along. And everything else, ISIS, Daesh, Al-Qaeda, that was just an excuse to try and placate a war-weary American people who are saying, why are we spending our money and our children's blood running all over the world, making messes of these other countries, when there is so much to do here at home to fix this country up? And a lot of people are saying the same thing. It doesn't really make any sense. Former British ambassador to Syria, Peter Ford, was interviewed by Sputnik and basically says the U.S. plans to prevent Syria's stabilization as a sovereign state. They're in there to wreck the place. If they can't put a puppet government in, they're just going to smash it all up. And Tulsi Gabbard, I'm really liking this lady. She's a congressman from right here on the island of Oahu. And she basically came on out saying, Washington must stop spending tax dollars to fund regime change wars. And this, of course, is a shot across the bow of the war hawks. And she's basically out there saying it's time to vote to end the foreign entanglements. Unfortunately, she's up against the majority of Congress, who I presume are heavily invested in war stocks. And the more wars they can start, the more money they themselves will make. And you need to remember Tulsi Gabbard, she's a veteran. She served a one-year tour in Iraq as a field medic. So she knows what it's like to be out there. And I agree with her. Look at how our nation is deteriorating. We're in a wartime economy. Almost everything that's there is being spent on war, and the nation is falling apart. They're leaving us ordinary citizens enough to keep us content, keep us from rising up. But that's a wartime economy. Okay, now, Iran has stated they will not allow any changes to the P5 plus one deal on the nuclear program. And basically saying if Washington quits the deal, Tehran will quit the deal as well. That it's an all or nothing. You either accept the deal as it is right now, or it's completely off. And, of course, this is in response to Donald Trump, who is repeatedly criticizing the argument, saying it's not broad enough, it's not wide enough, and it needs to include long-range ballistic missiles so that when the U.S. decides to invade Iran, they can do it relatively easily. That's what's behind all of this disarmament talk. When you're talking about disarming weapons of deterrence, and that's what nuclear weapons and long-range ballistic missiles are, they're weapons of deterrence. You cannot attack my country without my being able to cause harm in your country. That's it. When the United States was building the world's largest nuclear arsenal, they justified it saying, this is a deterrent system. Nobody will dare invade our country because of what we can do to them. And we have seen this repeated pattern over the last several years of convincing a nation to surrender the development of weapons of deterrence, followed by an invasion. Libya, Iraq, Syria, soon to be Iran, almost on the edge of North Korea. That's really what's going on here. Now, here's a story that came out of Blacklisted News, and it's basically saying that 15 years after the invasion of Iraq, U.S. and British oil corporations start to flaunt the spoils of imperial conquest. Remember all the way back when that was happening, and I said, it's about the oil. It's about the oil and what currency it is being sold for. And apparently the British oil and gas company, British Petroleum, has won the contract to operate the Rumaili oil field. They actually got it back in 2009, and they're now boasting of their new drilling capabilities on Twitter. So I think at this point we can say the real winner of the war in Iraq is British Petroleum. All about that oil. All about that oil. Do you realize that if the U.S. government had taken all the money they have spent to conquer and control or regime change the oil-producing nations and actually put it into new energy research, like a new Manhattan Project scale operation, we probably would have accomplished something really great by now. Certainly would have got thorium cycle reactors going, found out whether there's really anything to cold fusion, because the Army labs think there is. They don't think it's fusion, but there's something going on there. Could have gotten hot fusion going. Who knows what all else is out there? But they didn't want to look, because it's easier to pick up a rock and bash your neighbor in the skull and take their oil. Now, over in Korea, this Olympic detente, is upsetting the U.S. strategy on North Korea. The U.S. has been pushing this thing. North Korea is a threat to South Korea. North Korea is a threat to South Korea. We're allies with South Korea. We have to come in. We have to give them THAAD missiles. And all of a sudden, North Korea and South Korea are making buddy-buddy. They've had a lot of discussions at this peace house, and out of it so far have come some very powerful symbolic gestures. The first is that the North Korean and South Korean Olympic athletes are marching as one team under one flag. We don't know what that flag is going to look like. It won't be the flag, existing flag of either North or South Korea. But what a powerful symbol of reunification. And it may be that both North Korea and South Korea do not want to have a repeat of the start of the Korean War, where they all suffered hugely, especially North Korea, at the hands of the U.S. They could very easily walk on out of that peace house and say, guess what? We're going to reunify. Problem's over. Take your THAAD missiles and go home. The threat of a new U.S. invasion on the peninsula may actually get them past the hurdles to reunify. And, of course, that would just yank the rug out from under the U.S. Efforts to get in North Korea, because they're building weapons of deterrence. They want to be able to stop us from invading them, and we can't allow that to happen. And U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is going the other direction. He's out there snarling at North Korea. In fact, if you look at this article I'm talking about, there's a photo of him, and he literally looks like he's snarling into the camera, saying either negotiate or we'll take military action. Now, of course, what Rex Tillerson means by negotiate is you do what we tell you, because any negotiation from the U.S. side ends with North Korea surrendering its nuclear weapons and its long-range missiles. And North Korea is not going to do that, because they saw what happened when all these other countries surrendered their nuclear weapons and long-range missiles. Libya, Syria, Iraq, they got invaded. And the whole point of the exercise from the point of view of Kim Jong-un is not to be invaded. Meanwhile, in another sign of an impending military adventure against North Korea, the U.S. has deployed an EC-130H compass call aircraft. Now, this is an aircraft capable of scrambling communications in the air to disrupt communications between enemy aircraft and their command center. It also has some very powerful surveillance capabilities, and some people have speculated it may be used to collect data on North Korea's military during the Olympic Games, which will begin on February 9th. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a phone call. Dustin in New Jersey, aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I guess they couldn't collect data on how many nuclear weapons North Korea has, huh?
Well, I imagine by now Kim Jong-un has dispersed them, however many he has, and I don't think it's a lot, but it takes only one nuclear bomb to wreck your day, as we learned last Saturday, or almost learned last Saturday. But I imagine he's got them stashed all over the country in order to avoid a decapitation strike.
Yeah, does people realize if all they have to do is hit a couple ports in your country or New York or Washington, and that'd be enough to... the country would be finished. You know, it doesn't take many, you know, to cause chaos and infrastructure collapse and EMP fields and all this other stuff going on. So it doesn't take a lot to ruin your day. You know, hey, Mike, yeah,
you're absolutely right.
Oh, sorry.
North Korea, if they send a missile over the United States, they shouldn't do a ground burst. They should do it above the magnetosphere and let the EMP do the rest of the work.
Yep, that's it. That's all it takes. And then that's the end of the infrastructure. For a long time, you know, you'd be running horse and buggies, you know. Hey, Mike, with Tulsi Gabbard, remember when she went to Syria and met with Assad?
Yes.
And what they call her? An appeaser, you know, or a Russian agent, just like they did with Ron Paul. That's what we're up against. That's what these people are like. They're not good people. They're garbage. You know, they got to get rid of them, period. I know you're against, like, having an armed revolt, and I'm not for violence, Mike, but I mean,
yeah,
these people, that's what it's going to take. I'm sorry, we've been through this.
I'm hearing that from so many different places right now. And if an armed revolution starts in this country, I'm not going to risk my body standing up and trying to protect the government. I'm just stand off to one side with a camera, let them walk on past. Hi guys, have fun.
But the military would most likely, because remember there was that study where it said, like, the Navy would probably stand by and do nothing. The Air Force would most likely back the government for whatever reason, depending on the pilot. But the Army and the Marines would side with the American people, well, the majority, which means, you know, the government would be decapitated at that point, because there's just no way without an Army and a Marine Corps
you can, you know, with just like partial Air Force and Navy standing by, that you would be able to defeat like a civil uprising to that point, you know.
Yeah.
And remember, majority of the gun owners are conservative, you know, for the most part, you know, so like, and then throw in the guerrilla warfare.
I've never met a liberal who had a gun.
Yeah, but throw in the guerrilla warfare part of it, you know,
yep.
You can learn a lot from the Iraq War and the Vietnam War, right? So the government
yep.
would lose, Mike. Like, maybe not in the short term, but in the long term it would lose because it would be like a war of attrition. And, you know, so how about we just build a wall around Washington, D.C.? You know, instead of building a wall on the border, like you said, put crocodiles in the Rio Grande, right?
Yep.
And then just, like, build a wall against around Washington, D.C. and starve them out. You know, I mean, yeah, they're garbage, though, Mike, the lies. Rex Tillerson really disappointed, right? Like, I mean, what happened to this guy? Somebody slipped a Mickey in his drink or something. I mean,
yes, absolutely.
You know.
But the neocons are back in control, and the neocons are dreaming of world conquest, no matter how much of other people's money they have to spend, and no matter how many of other people's children have to die in it, because they serve a noble purpose.
But we'd lose because it's a tech war. It's a missile war, a drone war, and China's got the population. I mean, they don't even, I mean, they don't have to come here. There's nothing that we have that they want. They have the manufacturing of the world. They have the infrastructure.
Yes.
They could just sit back like they are now and letting us rot away. We're rotting away at this point while we talk. You know, we're
yes.
rotting away, and with this arguments over, like, you know, transgenderism and all this other crap going on in this country, or Trump's unfit because he's got dementia and all this other bull crap. You know, that's, and then they're all freaking out. And this is why we're rotting away, Mike. Did you notice nothing's getting done? I mean, nothing, absolutely nothing. You know, nothing
agree.
Will be get done. I believe nothing's going to get done, Mike. I mean, we're on the road to the end. You know, I don't know how long it's going to take, if it's Trump's second term or if he's going to make it to a second, but, yeah, this is it, Mike. Like, there's nothing being fixed. I mean, sure, you got some jobs being created, but not... I saw a
not
video
enough.
On YouTube, Mike, with homeless people lined up on the streets of a bike path. I mean, for miles, Mike. Like,
yes,
that's a low unemployment rate, because the unemployment rate's phony.
Of course it's phony.
You know, it's
a complete phony. They keep saying it's 4.1% unemployment. That's just the number of people who lost jobs in the last 2 weeks. And what they're not including in that number, of course, is the almost 100 million, or last I heard it was slightly over 100 million Americans who've been unable to find a real job for weeks, months, and years. And that's puts our real jobless rate at close to 40%.
And some people call these homeless people, sure, they have some drug problems. Sure, some of those people have mental issues, and they're veterans. You know, there's a lot of them that are veterans. You know, but,
yes.
You know, Mike, as housing prices go up from the Ponzi scheme, people can't afford to live in the city. They got nowhere to go, so they have a tent. That's sad, ain't it? Like, how it's such a Ponzi scheme of increasing housing prices by the banks to prop up value and the stock market, then all these people got nowhere to go but to live off the street. That's why you got like a lot of tent cities popping up, plus they're out of work. Remember, there was a thing with the people working for Silicon Valley that were living out of trailers. Like,
yes.
Yeah, so there's obviously an infrastructure problem in this country, but like I said, it's not going to get fixed because they don't care. They don't care. They'll bring in people on, like, the illegal immigrants or the refugees in Europe, and they put them on welfare, and they put them into debt, even though they can't pay the debt off. You know, so, what a scam, what a fraud, Mike. I'm so disappointed in Trump. Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought he can change stuff, but you know what it proves? He either can't or he won't, and he should have got rid of the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA, and he didn't. And that's to his mistake, you know. And for the people who vote, who still support him, why didn't he get rid of the bad apples like he could have? There's no excuse for that.
I agree. His biggest single mistake, coming into the White House was he wanted to be magnanimous in victory and allowed a lot of the Obama holdovers to remain. What he really should have done was fire everybody and bring in people from outside the Beltway who know how to do the functions that need to be done. And then he would have had the freedom to enforce his agenda. But instead of draining the swamp, he hired all the alligators into the top staff positions.
And Mike, real quick, I want to talk about Apple, how they're supposedly going to bring some jobs back here. So where were they like 20 years ago? You know, like where?
Yeah, They were in Silicon Valley, but I think they moved a lot of their operations over to other countries like Ireland, which has a very positive tax structure. And do you realize if we quit all these wars and we were able to lower taxes, that we would now become attractive to other nations to send their manufacturing here? But as long as we're in a wartime economy where everything that is floating around in terms of wealth is focused on that war or making more wealth, this is a very unattractive place for business. Now, Apple isn't saying that they're going to be creating a lot of jobs. What they're saying is because of the change in the tax law and the fact that they were, in fact, hiding some money offshore, they're going to start bringing that money back on in and pump it into the economy. It doesn't necessarily translate to jobs because, again, right now, most of what Apple is doing is simply pushing iPhones, iPads, iWatches, the iRing. Believe it or not, they're working on that. And those are still being manufactured in China.
But the thing is, they're going to pump it into the stock market because they're going to do buybacks, Mike. That's what they're going to do.
That's probably what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. And Donald Trump is now out there claiming that the Russians are not doing enough to put economic pressure on North Korea. And can you start to sense the schizophrenia in our foreign policy? Because the U.S. is openly hostile to Russia. They're blaming Russia for everything. They're provoking Russia. Same thing with China. Now we're getting into a trade war with China. Then Trump turns around and demands that Russia and China help him crush another nation, North Korea. It strikes me that if you want other nations to do something for you, you should be nice to them. But that's apparently not the way of the U.S. government. It's simply bullying and blustering and screaming and crying. And Dustin is right. This nation is already rotting apart. And it's a very schizophrenic government we have right now, collectively. Individually, they're sociopaths. Collectively, they're schizophrenic. Now, there's an article that came on out in Russia Today that really does lay out what needs to happen with the two Koreas. And it says, if the U.S. is sidelined, if they mind their own business, the two Koreas can work towards peace and stability. And the basically they're saying, yeah, there's a lot of progress coming out of these talks, these inter-Korean talks. Now, I can imagine right now that South Korea would be looking at North Korea's nuclear weapons not as a threat, but an asset if they reunify. Because now all of a sudden South Korea, well, the whole Korea would have the means to deter invasion and attack. We might see a surprise come out of those talks. I would not rule out they're coming on out and saying, we've decided to reunify. End of story. We're going to be friends now. The way Vietnam reunified, the way Germany reunified. Now, apparently, the Chinese are building a new military base just 6 miles east of where they had this standoff with Indian forces just last year. And apparently it includes trenches, barracks, multiple helipads. Gun emplacements have been dug. At the moment, satellite photos show they're still unoccupied by heavy weaponry, but you're not going to dig a gun emplacement without intending to put one in there. So Chinese troops and armored vehicles have built up in the area, including a full mechanized regiment of what appear to be ZBL-09 infantry fighting vehicles, which can be equipped with howitzers and anti-aircraft suites. So now we've got another tense border situation, this one between China and India. Meanwhile, India has test-fired what they call the Agni 5. This is a nuclear-capable ICBM. Long range.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.